Hello and welcome to episode 151 of the Talking Talkie podcast. You're lucky today because you've got two Toms. So first of all, I'm joined by Tom Diamond. How are you doing, mate?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Yes, mate. I'm not too bad. I'm slightly more optimistic than I probably have been in recent weeks. I'm obviously Tom Vosper, so I'll be hosting today. So we've got a 1-1 draw to talk about at Weymouth away. How we have fallen a 1-1 draw at Weymouth away. Tom, you were there. How was it?
Yeah, I agree. How we've fallen. I mean, I was walking out the ground and it was like, I could hear quite a few, good to get a point. We'll take that. And yeah, I agree. You're thinking we're in Weymouth here. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, first of all, just to say like what a great atmosphere and like what a great show of support for the club from kind of everyone who went, both actually home and away fans. Obviously the amount that Weymouth kind of put into kind of like, you know, their support for the club after all of the troubles that we've had, that there was so much support from their side, which was really nice to see. And then also from the away fans that went, it was very, very positive throughout, even when we conceded, which we'll get onto in a minute. You know, very, very positive throughout. Great atmosphere. So that was good. In terms of the actual game, I liked us in the first half. I thought I really like going back to two up top. I think that works a lot better. I think that when Jarvis was fit early in the season, we were playing kind of a hoofball approach. And I don't mind direct football, but we're playing direct football to one player who was flicking it on and we had no one up there with him. So it just seemed completely pointless. So I like that we've got two up top. I think Brad Ash is still kind of finding his confidence again, finding his feet. He didn't kind of look particularly sharp, I didn't think, but I do think that partnership can kind of go on from here. And then obviously got the goal. I didn't actually see it. This is the first time I've been going to watch Torquay for more or less 20 years now. And I've always been religious about watching every kind of minute of the game. I've never left early, never left the game halfway through or anything. Anyway, there was not much happening. So I went close. I really needed a wee. So I've gone closer and closer to where the toilets are, waited for the ball to go out for a throw in, quickly run in, and we've thrown the ball down the line, run down the line, and I've just heard this massive cheer outside. So yeah, that was a first for me, and hopefully a last. So yeah, I have watched the goal back now. I'm sure you've seen it as well. Like I think you know, it's a great run. I was from Jude Boyd to get in that position, and I don't know about you, but I was really, really impressed. I've been really impressed actually by him. I think he's looked really strong. Really strong. He's clearly an athlete, and he's good on the ball. So I think that's a good signing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I saw him first when he played at Maidstone and he definitely seemed like our best player. I'll be honest, when I saw the starting lineup, I thought putting him at left wing back, I was thinking, why are we trying to just... It's sort of the square peg, circle the holes again, isn't it? I feel like he did such a good job at right back. He's such a good option in getting in sort of on the overlap. So I was a bit reticent when I saw that. However, typically he was the person to get the first goal. I can't believe how he gets up there so quick. He's ahead of everyone, isn't he?
And
he
yeah, just it's a great run.
It's a great run. The defender, I don't really know how he's managed to sort of squeeze in between the defender and the keeper. It seems like the defender should have cleared it. I think we'd be quite frustrated if that had been a Marshall or something like that.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, we went 1-0 up. Things were looking positive. I mean, I saw, just quickly to go back to the starting lineup, but minus the Jude Boyd at left wing back, I sort of looked at that lineup and I thought that's pretty much getting quite close to our strongest 11, isn't it? If we're not going to win today, then I don't really know what the excuse will be afterwards. I mean, obviously the circumstances around the club and stuff like that will obviously be playing on their minds. But as an 11, you must have felt. Did you feel the same as me in terms of the optimism about it?
Definitely, and to add to that as well, just having some options off the bench as well. You know, I'm not saying that the bench is perfect by any means, but I remember I was standing with Matty Hayward for a lot of the game and talking to him about it, and we were saying, yeah, the you know, it's still not kind of the strongest bench you would maybe like, but compared to where we've been, where we've had like two under 18s and a goalkeeper on the bench, and I've actually felt pretty offended that I haven't had a call up at that point. I'm thinking I could be starting at this point, but now you look at it and you think there was genuine options there. You know, we could bring on people. I know Collins hasn't been in great form and things like that, but we could bring on Collins, Achiempong. I think Martin came on as well. So it was nice to have a really strong starting 11 and also think if something doesn't go quite right, we've got options. So yeah, I yeah completely agree. I think you maybe add back in Lapsley potentially into that, but apart from that, you think we are pretty much at full strength there. I still think we're a bit light in defence. I think I've said this on here before. I really want to like Martial. I like some of the things he does in terms of that kind of aggression, and like I think you do need a bit of that, especially in this league. I saw a thing, I can't remember where it was, which I thought put it quite nicely, where you almost want a mix of Martial and Tomlinson. You want like a halfway
that's
between.
Such a good point.
Yeah,
I agree.
So like Tomlinson, I really struggle with him a little bit. I just think he's too nice. You know, if you had a daughter and she brought Ollie Tomlinson home, you'd be happy about that. Whereas with Martial, you definitely wouldn't be. That's the way I look at it. But I think, yeah, kind of you need a halfway in between, not an absolute head case, but equally someone who is going to kind of be kind of demanding. And I know he's young, but I just felt for that goal, and we probably look at Holstead as well, the equaliser, just felt Tomlinson probably could have done a bit more even just to put him off. And then obviously, I don't know, I've seen things as well saying that ball has travelled miles. And I don't know what you thought on the highlights, but I just think, I just struggle with a ball going that far, that close to the 6 yard box and the keeper not coming for it. I mean, I didn't have a perfect angle on it, but yeah, I don't know what you thought about that one.
Yeah, well, we're looking at the highlights. I was quite tempted to say it was a very nice whipped in ball, and it was so appealing for the striker to get on the end of it. I couldn't quite make out which centre half it was, and so you're saying it was Tomlinson.
I think it was Tomlinson. I might be wrong, but I've got a feeling it was. If not, I'm just being really harsh about Tomlinson.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I kind of looked at it and I thought I thought that's quite a nice all-round goal. And I thought, we've really missed someone like Stobbs doing that on a regular basis. That's kind of what I'd seen Stobbs doing. But maybe now, actually in hindsight, maybe the keeper could come out. It does seem quite close. He is in the sun a bit, isn't he, I guess? So maybe he can lose it in the sun. But maybe that's sort of making excuses. But to concede from a set piece, obviously frustrating. Do you think we've seen, as a performance in general, since Downs has been the main man, obviously it's only been two games, can you see a noticeable difference between how we sort of play and how Johnson set us
up?
I
do think, yeah. I just think that it must have an effect on the players, this kind of, I know the threat of administration isn't a feel-good factor, but you know what I mean? There's a sense of feeling, there is just a sense of togetherness around the club now and a bit of a connection between the club and the fans, which was kind of shown at full time when the players came over to the fans, having probably had a fairly disappointing result, but you know, there's still a lot of still massive togetherness there. I just think that must have had an effect on the players, a positive effect on the players. And I think first half in particular, and get onto the second half in a minute, but I think in first half in particular, we definitely played better football. We were creating chances on a regular basis. It did feel exciting to watch, and I know we're obviously not playing one of the kind of top teams in the division, and you know, maybe that, you know, the football we played on Saturday against Yeovil may have been a different story, I don't know, but I just felt it was exciting to watch. You could get behind the team. It wasn't just this kind of, you know, direct approach into no man's land where Jarvis is heading it on and it's just running through to the keeper. It looked like we were trying to play. I think Dawson is kind of a massive, you know, it's almost like a new signing, isn't it, having him back? And I think he was class on Saturday. I thought I did a match report and I thought I gave it to Jude Boyd, man of the match, but I think it could have been pretty tight with Dawson. I mean, just his energy. I don't know how old he is, but I don't think he's particularly young, and he, like, his energy, you know, it's like, if anyone's played Football Manager, like a box-to-box midfielder is kind of how I describe him. And I think he makes a massive difference in that midfield, just brings some energy. He's creative. He gets on the ball. He wants to play kind of, he wants to pass forward. He's not just giving it backwards. And yeah, so to answer your question, definitely think that probably thanks to kind of having a couple of players back, but I do think just the togetherness is showing on the pitch and the way we're playing more football, and we're not just pumping the ball on.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say about Dawson being a sort of box-to-box midfielder and being quite tenacious. I think we all kind of think that about Lapsley as well. So do you think that, we mentioned about potentially having the strongest starting 11, does Lapsley get in ahead of Dawson for you? Probably not. Does he get in ahead of McGavin then, or how do you think McGavin's been the last, well,
yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because it's whether you think Dawson and Lapsley are going to kind of do the same role, whereas maybe McGavin brings something slightly different. I'm trying to think in my head now. It's 3-5-2. Who would have been? So we'd have had one more in that central spot. Is that
Jenkins Davies?
Jenkins Davies. That's right. Yeah. To be honest, based on what I saw on Saturday, I would bring in Lapsley for Jenkins Davies. I would probably say I don't think Jenkins Davies had his strongest game. I do like him though. So, and I know kind of people have games where it doesn't go as well. So, you know, no kind of disrespect there, but I don't know whether Dawson and Lapsley would kind of do the same role. Equally, it's quite an effective role. So I think that it, you know, I think on paper, if you're going Lapsley or McGavin, I personally would be going for Lapsley. I don't know about you, but I do think though McGavin looked a lot fitter on Saturday. That was the main thing I'd say. He looked sharper. When we lost possession, he was kind of tracking back. I mean, my eyesight's not great, so whether that was actually Dawson all along, but I just felt he looked fitter. He was tracking back more, and he just looked, yeah, just more comfortable on the ball. So, no kind of problems having him in there. I would personally, if I had to pick a midfield three right now, I probably would go Lapsley, Dawson, McGavin, I think. What about you? What would be yours?
I think I'd probably be quite similar. I mean, I'm quite a big critic of Lapsley. I think he just runs around a lot. Not much end product, but then he has scored a few goals.
Yeah.
And he seemed to have been our sort of number 10, especially when we're Maidstone away, which is the last game I went to. No, that's a lie. Sorry, I went to Farnborough, but he wasn't playing there. But at Maidstone, he was sort of the number 10 in behind Fory Atchison. It just didn't really work. Mm. And I think with Dawson back, maybe having Lapsley alongside him and then McGavin a bit deeper, I think sort of playing the balls out wide, and you can't disregard the set pieces either. I mean, he's scored quite a few. He's dug us out of a few holes with some outrageous goals. But he doesn't really move much. So if you have two central midfielders alongside him who are getting up and down and left and right, I think that could work pretty well. It then comes down to how you decide to set up the back four or five. I think personally, we concede anyway when we have five. I think if I was Downs, I don't think he's going to do it, but I think having four at the back, and I don't then have two wingers, one of Stobbs, which again, I've been quite critical of this season, but I think we're quite short. And then either Collins or Ash, left-hand side, and then Jarvis through the middle. I think this is what I would go for, I think. Looking, especially with someone like Jude Boyd, up and down that right-hand side, I think it could work really well. Left back is obviously the issue. Obviously, we had Moxie play at the weekend, and you said Martin came on.
I think he did. I'm thinking in my head now whether that did happen. But Moxie kind of played left-hand side of a back three from what I can remember. I think maybe it is time for Moxie to be more of a centre-half. I think the Avely game, he was really struggling to kind of exploit the left-hand side of the pitch. And I think, I just think he's still a very, very effective player. I still think he's one of our best players, but I think we can get more out of him now for a 90 minutes at centre-half. I agree with you. I think four at the back could definitely work well. And then that just gives us a bit more in the rest of the pitch. I don't know whether we need... I don't know against... Weymouth didn't create masses. I don't know whether we needed Marshall, Tomlinson and Moxie. And I don't know whether kind of an extra pair of legs either in midfield or kind of along the attacking line would have maybe given us that kind of edge we needed and that kind of extra boost to win the game. I certainly maybe would have gone to that later on in the game when it was 1-1 and kind of for the last 20 minutes, Weymouth were clearly just trying to run the clock down and take a point, in my opinion. So at that point, I probably would have looked to throw someone on, throw an extra pair of legs on up the pitch. But then you do obviously run the risk of being hit on the break and losing 2-1, and then everyone goes, oh, why did we change it? I think
it's true. In terms of the second half, I think looking at the highlights, it looked like we were far more dominant than Weymouth. I can't believe how we didn't score. Was it Jarvis where he had it cleared off the line?
The header.
Was it a header? Yeah. There's a few opportunities there. Do you think it's 2 points dropped, point gained, or how do you see
I think firstly, the Weymouth keeper, I mean, I know there was obviously the incident where he threw, I don't know if you've seen that, but he threw Marshall to the ground quite kind of dramatically. So Marshall and him were kind of having a bit of an altercation, and then he's kind of thrown, literally thrown Marshall to the ground. And watching it back on the highlights, the ball's still in play at that point. So that I think he's got very, very lucky there, the keeper, because the ref's seen the whole thing as well. And I think the ref's just tried to take the sting out of it and calm it down. But I think he's got really, really lucky. And I don't know what Marshall did before. I said in the report I wrote that I don't know who started it, but it was probably Marshall, because we know what Marshall's like. I actually know that goalkeeper, and after the game, one of my friends was talking to him, and he said that Marshall was stepping on his feet loads from corners, which is what wound him up, and that's why he threw him to the ground. Which seems like a bit of a head loss reaction. So if we had got a pen from that, then well done, Marshall, because he's done an absolute job on him there. But I do think that, notwithstanding that incident, I thought the Weymouth keeper was excellent. I saw he got their man of the match, and just kind of any balls into the box he was coming and claiming for. He made a great save just before that Jarvis header. He also saved that really nice move we had, which ended up with the ball out on the right, and then it got crossed in, and Jarvis did kind of like a Cruyff finish where
Yeah,
the
that's
ball
right.
was
At the near
behind him.
post, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great save. So I think, I do think that the keeper had a really good game, but I would still say that's 2 points dropped. I think I know we've kind of got this feel good factor, but actually we still need to be winning games. And if we don't get a 10-point deduction, then I don't think it wouldn't, I say wouldn't have been, or it isn't too late to kind of launch an attack on the playoffs and for the last kind of few games potentially. And I just think games like that, you've got to be winning. Weymouth kind of came out second half and looked like they were going to put us under a bit of pressure, tried to get the ball forward, and I thought again this may be going to be quite an exciting game. And then they seemed, as we got on top, they seemed, like I said, pretty content with a point. And I think where you're going so hard at a team for so long like that, and you've got that much possession, and you can see such a avoidable goal, I think it's got to be seen as 2 points dropped. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think so too. I think, like I said earlier about the team that we played, as in the players we had in that starting 11, I think we should have been looking to win that game. I'm kind of on the same wavelength as you in terms of a playoff push. I don't know what it's going to take for me to be not optimistic about us getting to the playoffs. I mean, it's just you put a couple of results together, but like we were talking about before we came on, is no win now in nine, isn't it? The last win was a 1-0 against Dover at home. So in terms of a playoff push, that seems like it's a bit of a way off at the moment. But if things are to come together at some point and you just win a couple of games, it's the kind of situation now, if we do get into the playoffs, it's obviously a big if, but I think we would then go up just purely because of the what it would take for us to get into the playoffs, the
Yeah,
momentum
we'd
that
have to be on such a good run. Yeah.
we're...
As long as we're not away at a plastic pitch, that's the only thing.
I mean, we're sat here saying that, but playing against Worthing, who have done us over twice, potentially playing against Maidstone, who've done us over three times this season. Maybe that's very ambitious to say, but you do see it. Teams just out of nowhere, that playoff push, and then just the momentum can just carry you through, can't it?
Yeah, definitely.
If we are to go for a playoff push, then that means that we need to obviously win some games, and that means that our next home game, which is this Saturday against Dartford, is a must win. Dartford, who are normally a team, I think, whenever we're in this league, are always a team that seem to be one of the favourites to either certainly go up or definitely be up in the playoffs. They've had a very mixed, well, a very disappointing season, I should say. They're down in 19th at the moment. They are 10 points behind us, just looking at the table. And a home game with this feel-good factor, surely they won't want to be coming to play more this Saturday, will they?
No, but I know you're right. Disappointing season. Not done very well, but they still beat us 3-0. So yeah. Which kind of sums up the season so far and kind of how we've done, especially away from home. But yeah, we again have to be favourites for that game. And I know obviously we've got big issues round the club, and we can come to that in a minute, but yeah, I think the pressure has to be on the players a little bit this Saturday. That, well, I think we do need that result, and I also think that this kind of feel good factor, whilst it does run deeper than results on the pitch, are going to help keep that going. The fans are obviously getting behind the team, but there's still going to be that frustration there about our kind of season and the lack of results. And just because Johnson's gone, that frustration isn't going to be kind of suddenly gone. We still need to start picking up results. And it's a funny one, isn't it? Because part of you is like, well, we could get points deducted and be in a relegation battle. And then the other part of you is like, we could win a few games and not get points deducted and be in a playoff battle. So who knows? Like, we're mid-table, but it's like the most exciting mid-table you've ever seen. Like, anything could happen. So, yeah, I think we have to be pushing for all 3 points. And actually, yeah, like we were talking about just now, maybe this would be a good game against a team that's struggling to trial four at the back and get an extra player forward and see if we can kind of take the game to them. I'd love to see a clean sheet as well. I don't know about you.
Oh, that, yeah, clean sheet would be lovely. I mean, I was there for the 0-0 against Farnborough. And although that was a clean sheet, it was pretty desperate in terms of quality. And also, I think we're quite fortunate to come away with a clean sheet. It'd be quite nice to get a clean sheet and then feel fully deserving of it. So that's Dartford at home. I think in terms of team news, one thing that I think maybe had been mentioned on the last podcast, but is Downs is far more open with his interviews in terms of injuries and stuff like that. So right now we haven't had the midweek press conference, which normally people were not looking forward to. Whereas now, having heard his last one, everyone might feels a bit more optimistic about it. He actually seems to give updates on the actual squad and how things are. I don't think following the game away at Weymouth, we had any fresh injury worries, do you?
Not that I can remember. I don't think anyone kind of... Yeah, Jarvis went off for Achiempong and that's kind of seemed fine. Archer came on. Collins came on, but yeah, I don't think any of them were particularly from injuries. I might be wrong, but yeah, I don't remember anyone kind of limping off or anything like that. So fingers crossed, we've got kind of a full bit of health from the ones that played last weekend. And then yeah, obviously Lapsley is kind of the one that we'd be looking at. I know he said in the last press call that Acer's not too far away. I like Acer in the dugout though. He just looks like a National League South manager in my head. He's one of those like busy young managers. He's got the look about him, especially with the short haircut.
He did not look out of place at all, did he, stood there? He's a good looking man, isn't he?
I don't know why he had that long hair for so long. He looks way better than
yeah
that.
It was so bad. I mean, maybe you should get it back because we won the league with
yeah that's
hair.
True, yeah.
Ever since that, it's the goal scoring's gone out the window, hasn't it? So
yeah,
I think we both feel slightly more, well, certainly more optimistic about the squad. I think the team, will come onto the club in a minute. So looking at Dartford, I think we can say a comfortable 3 points at home. It's more minutes for players coming back from injury. I don't think there's going to be, I mean, we've had some outgoings in the last week or so. I'm not sure if Dylan De Silva, was that before or after Weymouth? Was it before, I think?
That was before, yeah. And he's gone to the National League, which is, yeah, what an agent he's got. I guess he hadn't done a lot this year. So, fair play to him. I think he was an unused sub, my dad was telling me though, on Saturday at Wealdstone.
Right, okay.
We'll get him back on loan.
Yeah, probably. He'll still turn up. And he's the kind of player that if we ever play against him, he'll have an absolute blinder. I guess with that, it's quite fitting, really, that our players are back fit, pardon the pun. I think that, obviously, we're not expecting any incomings. I think we'd come to half expect an incoming at sort of 1:30 p.m. on a Saturday. But I think we've got who we've got now. Mm-hmm. Players coming back, things feeling a lot more positive, certainly about the squad and then about the club itself. And I think you were saying today that there was an article on Devon Live talking about potential owners. Was it? Did you say that there was three potential ones they've been speaking to?
Yeah, so I just kind of skimming through that earlier, was that's kind of the latest update I've seen from any kind of news outlet on kind of the situation with the ownership. Yeah, I think it was three. There was a lot of interest shown, but it looks like they're talking kind of more seriously now with three people or three kind of parties. so to speak. So yeah, hopefully something comes of that. Hopefully they're mega rich and yeah, and a Hollywood actor, ideally. Yeah.
I mean, that's what we need. We need
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman to come in and
Yeah.
build us up to play against Wrexham and just go up against Ryan Reynolds, really, don't we? That's probably not going to happen.
No,
However,
I think as well, like we've talked about previously, is it just, I think whoever we get, it's got to the this commu the communication between the fans and the club has to continue to get better. And even if the kind of owner, so, you know, just says, I just, you know, I'm not interested in the football, I'm going to put the money in, no problem. But they need to have someone on the board who is going to communicate with the fans, in my
yeah,
opinion.
I mean, everything has changed so dramatically. So obviously it's been over 2 weeks since the big news, and I think everyone certainly is very happy with how the club is now communicating.
Yeah.
It's no real sort of tensions between fans and the club anymore. It seems that incredibly open. I think even our podcast tweet saying the release of our podcast last week was liked and commented on
Yeah,
by the
it's
club.
incredible, isn't it?
Which is mad. It's absolutely mad. I don't know who is doing it. I don't know if someone has come in to do it or someone's been sort of handcuffed and not
Well,
being
this is
allowed to
the,
say what they
yeah,
want.
you think like it's great, and I know we've mentioned this before on previous podcasts, but it's great, and but you just think it's not that difficult. Like they're not doing anything crazy. Like all they're really doing is someone says, you know, I'll be there at Weymouth away, and they reply, see you there. Like
Yeah.
it's not hard what they're doing at all. But like I just don't, yeah, like say I don't understand why. And I know obviously on the pitch it wasn't going well, and maybe, I don't know, maybe they felt that the kind of fans were so against Johnson, so against Osborne, that going that way with the communication maybe would have, I don't know, kind of enraged people even more. I don't know if that was their kind of thinking, but yeah, it doesn't seem difficult what they're doing now, and it just seems to have helped so much, and you kind of feel like you have a connection to your club again, and you just couldn't feel that before. So I think it's been a really, really good step. And whoever comes in as a new owner, fingers crossed we have that sorted soon. It has to continue. And the fans, I don't know what's happened with this with the steering group that they were talking about that you could apply for. I mean, I think it was under 24s and then like over 25s. So I'm 24, so I couldn't apply. But this has kind of ruled me out. But I don't know what's happened with that, and I don't know whether that's still going to be a thing. But just in general, like the fans need to be valued, which, and I think as a fan going to Weymouth and going to Avely and things like that, you felt valued for being at those games, and you maybe couldn't say that about, I don't know, some of the away games we were talking about before, like Farnborough, Chippenham that we've been at. And yeah, you know, I didn't go to that game and leave thinking like the club were glad I was there, but you left Weymouth thinking like, no, the club were very glad that I made that effort to go. So yeah, I think it's got to continue in some form. And yeah, whoever's doing the social media, yeah, just keep it up. It's got to continue.
Just keep ticking it over.
Yeah.
I guess we maybe should just quickly talk about the potential of a 10 points deduction. So I'm not sure how it technically works in terms of what would need to happen for the 10 points deduction to be this year if we were going to get one, or alternatively for it to be at the start of next season. And I think that's quite a crucial question to answer. I mean, I'm not sure if you know the answer at all, or I don't know how it works. Maybe it needs to be after a certain date that we officially go into administration. But I certainly feel like a 10-point deduction this year, rather than going into next season with a 10-point deduction, seems potentially the more favourable of the two to sort of
Yeah.
take it now and then really have a new owner come in and then really have a reset over the summer. And
Yeah.
it feels a bit again, being blindly optimistic, probably, but it seems a bit Buckle-esque about how when we went down and new owners came in, he had four players, wasn't it, when he came in? He could have whoever comes in as manager and owner could have quite a blank canvas to be working with next year.
Yeah.
I'm not sure which players that we actually have in terms of contracted for the next year, but I wonder how many would actually we would certainly keep, and then how many would actually want to stay following the what's been quite a dramatic
Yeah.
seasons. I'm sure you. I'm not sure how you think in terms of the of a 10-point deduction. Would you take it now and just take the hit and just try and avoid relegation, or would you just try and push for promotion now and maybe have to take one next year?
I would. Yeah, I think I would take it this year. I think we obviously mentioned there's still that potential to get in the playoffs, but I think most people would probably agree that the likelihood that we go promoted this year is pretty slim. I think, like you were saying, if we can keep a core of those players and kind of have new ownership, new kind of management style, kind of increase attendances, so more money coming into the club. I think if we had that in September with no points deduction, we're going to be a force to be reckoned with. It probably is worth mentioning that Woking and Dorking are both kind of in and around the National League relegation zone, to kind of fairly well-established National League clubs, and obviously Woking nearly going up into League Two last year. So obviously having those two in the league next year may be a real challenge in terms of getting into the National League, providing they do both get relegated, which they may not. But yeah, there could be quite a hard league next year. I think as well, it's probably worth mentioning just on the 10-point deduction, it's a bit of a grey area, isn't it? Because the administrators are there, but we're not actually in administration.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I'm not an expert, but I don't know whether to get the 10-point deduction, you actually have to be in administration. So I don't know whether we could be looking at a bit like Taunton had, like a potential transfer embargo or something like that, which I don't think would have that much of an impact, because like we were saying before, I think we've got what we've got now, and we're not going to be signing players. So I think that maybe for the league, it's provided a bit of a grey area, the fact that we have administrators at the club, but the club's not in administration. I don't know, I might be wrong, but I don't know how often that's happened before. And I don't know whether that's maybe delayed kind of an instant decision on what's going to happen with a deduction or an embargo or anything like that. I love saying transfer embargo. That makes us sound massive, I think, like a Champions League club. But yeah, we've broken our financial fair play and all that. But yeah. But yeah, so I think to answer your question, I would take it this year, and yeah, just draw a slate and wipe the slate clean is the phrase, isn't it? Wipe the slate clean and then go again next year with a new squad, new manager. Well, obviously, new manager from Johnson. It may still be Downs, but yeah, I think that's maybe one last thing we could say is kind of what you think of manager wise going forward. Would you like to see kind of Downs take it on full time, or I know it's hard to see two games, but.
Yeah. I mean, you just perfectly went on to that question. I was just about to ask you the exact same thing. I think it's very early days, isn't it? I think he's shown enough to sort of say that he is different to Johnson. I think one of the concerns wasn't that he was just Johnson's number two, so he was going to just be the exact same person, just a bigger, taller, more Aussie version of him. But despite things maybe picking up maybe not necessarily in terms of results, but in terms of a bit of a feel-good factor in terms of his squads and stuff like that, I don't personally think he would be the right man for us to be manager next season. I think there's so much potential with us. And I think he's obviously had the opportunity in a very limited amount of time, hasn't quite proven to be that exciting. I think we've said this before in the podcast many times, the fact that he was a central defender and we still can't really defend, how we pretty much start most games 1-0 down, is also a concern. But he has been a bit more attacking minded than I probably thought he would have been. I think having the two strikers in Barron, I even know the fact that we have five at the back. So for me, it'd probably be a no. And I think the next question would then be, but who? Mm-hmm. One thing I would say is that what the club needed was a massive refresh. And I think I said that again, I think I've said it on here before about Johnson, that when he was starting to struggle and I was starting to lean towards him going, it's one of his main attributes that he had was his sort of book of contact, wasn't it? The amount of times he would just dig us out with a random player that he had playing for us in the past, would come in and would do quite a good job for us. And then also his son being manager and getting the loanies in, certainly from Bristol City. That kind of contact that sort of was getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Now it got to the point where there wasn't really anyone, and he's getting people like Dwayne Avoy Achimpong back. So I think any sort of manager who's going to come in is going to have fresh ideas, and somebody who they can be relatively young, but if they've got the contacts, if they've played at a certain level, if they've coached at a club a couple of divisions above, that somebody's going to come in and just bring some new faces in and know exactly how they want to play and set the team up, I think is much better option than Downs. I don't know if you agree at all.
Yeah, 100%. I think, and there is definitely, I know everyone is kind of seeing the bigger picture and supporting the team at the moment, but there's definitely big reservations around Downs from the fan base, which is completely fair enough because he was obviously assistant manager in one of the worst performing Torquay United teams of probably our lifetimes. And I know when Aaron Downs' Yellow Army was sang on Saturday, there was some people refusing that one, which, yeah, I mean, I understand both sides of it. We need to support the team, but equally, yeah, Downs was obviously kind of labelled defensive coach in a team that I think before the Farnborough game conceded 15 goals in four games or something. So, yeah, I completely understand the reservations. And I can't say when Johnson went and then that last line of the post said, Aaron Downs will step in as interim. I can't say I was overly excited about it. It was nice to see kind of some ex-players on social media and stuff kind of backing him up and people like Mansell and stuff like that. But yeah, I can't say that going into next season, I'd want Aaron Downs as manager. I don't know. There's a guy, Tom Williams, on Twitter who kind of does lots of stuff on the lower leagues, and he did a thread on who we could bring in. So
Yeah, I think I did see this, and I think
yeah,
that.
I've looked at a few of them now. There's a couple of, I don't know if you've watched that Bunch of Amateurs thing, the Dorking documentary, but two of their coaches are on it. And then there's people like Alan Dowson, who was obviously sacked by Dartford earlier in the season. And he's obviously kind of someone that Torquay fans will know quite well from kind of battles over the years. And then there's also people like Scott Bartlett, who's a National League South manager. And obviously Weston played pretty good football against us, and he's the Weston manager. And then a few others as well that I don't know as well. But also Lee Bradbury, I think he was the Eastleigh manager. He's a free agent as well. And I think that even just what this thread shows, and I know we've kind of moved on from what was happening before, but even this thread, there's kind of 10 plus managers on here, shows that the whole kind of, well, if you sack Johnson, who are you going to get in, probably wasn't true because there's so many people. And I think a lot of these people would take the job as well. So yeah, I think all of these names that I've just read out, plus some others, like Danny Bloor as well, all of those people I think would be, personally, I think would be a better option in Downs than Downs, just in the sense of it still kind of feels like we're holding on to that Johnson era a little bit with Downs, even though he has kind of mixed up the formation and stuff like that. And obviously he is very kind of upfront with the fans, which does help. But yeah, I agree with you. I think that we need to look forward now. And I don't necessarily think Downs is the person I'd want to see that we do that with long term. I can't see anything changing before the end of the season. But I do
Oh,
think
no.
that, no, I do think in the summer, you know, one of those suggestions that I've just read out, or potentially someone completely different would, yeah, I just think it'd be nice in the summer, potentially some of the same players, but nice in the summer to have a full kind of a fresh outlook, fresh ownership. And I think that'd be really exciting, whatever league we're in. Hopefully it's not the Southern League, but whatever league we're in, yeah, I think it'd be really exciting. And I do think a new manager would kind of help with that.
No, I completely agree. And I mean, I think looking at that list that you mentioned, there weren't many names that stood out to me in terms of ones that I'd recognize, but they were all ones that you could make a good case for. And I think that's, like you say, that's the argument of, well, who's going to replace him? That does go out the window. Just because I didn't recognize any of the names doesn't mean that these people aren't qualified. I think thinking of like ex-players that could come in to take over. I know we mentioned about Mansell, probably a bit too soon for him. Obviously, another player who replied to the tweet about Downs was Damon Lathrop, who's doing a really good job for Watford Women as well. Someone like that. He played for so many years, must have played for so many different clubs. He must know so many people that I think someone like that who's jumped about, may obviously well connected, someone like that to come in and then to really have their book of contacts and be able to reach out and say, right, we're going to win the league this year. This is the team that I want, and then putting it together. I think we just need to survive these next 11 games, and hoping that there's no 10-point deduction. And I hope that we pick up some wins along the way and we can look ahead to next season. I mean, it feels a bit weird saying look ahead to next season with only 35 games in. I don't think anyone or any talking United fan thought we'd be in this situation at this point. Maybe there were a couple who probably saw it coming, but I think a lot of us thought we're walking this league back into the National League.
Yeah.
Hasn't been, has it?
I don't know whether the fact that we walked it last time, I don't know whether that gave a bit of false hope in the fact we were just like, oh, this is going to be a repeat of the 2018-19 season, which was a lot of fun. You know,
yeah.
We were scoring 5+ goals at home and, you know, we were going on kind of great away days. We didn't necessarily win that many of the good away days. I look at like Bath away and stuff. We didn't win, but it was still still fun. Like, yeah. So, yeah, but I mean, it hasn't had that feel at all this year, really. Kind of, we haven't really had a kind of big day out where there hasn't been that element of toxicity, and maybe Saturday was the first time we felt that a little bit, and it was so much more enjoyable. And yeah, I mean, I've gone from obviously I live in Bath, so I've been kind of had Bath away in the calendar all year, and I wasn't really excited for it, but now I definitely am. Kind of whatever position we're in, it just feels like as well that everyone just wants to support the team and support the club, and it just, yeah, so yeah, it just feels like I woke up on Saturday morning so excited to go and watch and hadn't had that feeling for so long, really. And it's, yeah, yeah, so nice to have that back. And that was the feeling we had at the start of the kind of Johnson era. And it just, yeah, kind of, you know, action needed to be taken sooner. But yeah, we can only look forward now. And yeah, I think a lot of people probably are already just looking forward to next season. And yeah, like I say, hopefully that is in a minimum in this league. We went to Froome, didn't we, in the FA Trophy. I don't want to go there in the league. That's, yeah, my main thing.
Absolutely. Although we did beat them, didn't we? So maybe we
with a load of kids playing as well. So yeah, we could save costs there.
Well, hopefully people listening are feeling a bit more optimistic about things. I think there's obviously still a lot of reservations about what's going on. The results on the pitch still haven't been brilliant, but I think we all know that once if things turn around and people are feeling much better about going to the games, this could be a quite a good rest of the season. Unless you've got anything else you wanna say, Tom, I think we can sign it off here.
No, all good. I think the sun's going down. I might go out for a quick walk before it gets dark. So let's wrap it up. Yeah.
Yeah, let's wrap it up. Perfect timing. Anyway, thanks a lot, mate, and thanks a lot for listening.
Yeah, thank you.